You are listening to Spirit Radio, The Paranormal Experience, with your hosts Willie Hassel and Lynn Nickerson on the Paranormal UK Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal. A journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. Hey, good evening once again. Welcome to Spirit Radio, The Paranormal Experience. I'm Willie Hassel, and yes, she is here. She was just out locking the front door, and she is, let's see. Oh, yes, the lovely, the mystical.
You forgot.
The mysterious.
Yeah.
Lynn.
Thanks, Willie.
Lynn Nickerson. Hey, how are you?
Oh, you got to pay for that.
I know I am.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine.
Good?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's getting chilly. It's getting dark.
Yeah, it's getting dark.
Yeah.
It's going to be dark all night.
Yeah.
That's what the weatherman said.
Yeah. Yep. Are you from down Maine? Because you're kind of looking like it. You've got yourself a plaid shirt Willie.
I do. I'm wearing my plaid flannel shirt tonight because...
I saw like your moose ears earlier.
Like you said, it is a little bit chilly out tonight. So, hey, not everybody has moose ears.
No.
I know. Now you're going to tell me not everybody wants them, right? Okay.
I wouldn't say that to you. Because I know you're a sensitive soul.
Absolutely. Hey, tonight on Spirit Radio, The Paranormal Experience, tonight our guest is Rob Stewart. Rob is a certified consulting hypnotist and astrologer. He specializes in assisting his clients in releasing deep tensions and blockages from the mind and body.
Is he from Maine?
I'm not sure. We can ask him. He explores their root causes and uses profound relaxation, expanded awareness, and energetic balancing. Rob uses astrology to provide insight into his clients' current changes and life path. Rob was certified by the National Guild of Hypnotists in 2015 and started his own hypnosis business, Inner Center LLC, in 2016. And so we will welcome to the show Rob Stewart. And now you can ask him, is he from Maine?
Welcome, Rob. Nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Are
for
you
having
from
me back.
Maine?
I'm not. I'm from Vermont, actually.
Yeah, are you?
Oh,
it's just as bad.
Side. Yeah.
Yep. I think they have moose there too, don't they?
They do.
I do.
Like, you got to get you a plaid shirt.
Yeah. Oh, so I got plenty.
Okay, so you can go hunt for moose with Willie.
Yeah.
Got to get you some moose ears too.
Not everybody can wear plaid, you know?
No.
Okay.
I know, not everybody wants to.
Well, now, the topic is hypnosis, isn't it? Well, I listened to at the last show when you were on with Willie and Andy when he subbed for me. Mm-hmm. And he really pursued the questioning. I'm going to go much easier on you than I did on our last week's guest. I kind of skewered him, and I didn't mean to.
Did you see his last comment?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'll tell you later.
Okay. But the focus was on meditation versus deep hypnotic trance and what are the differences and so forth, and actually what is the purpose of meditation and hypnosis. Really interesting territory to cover. I thought, though, that I would start off with your interest in it, because you did mention that UFOs were sort of a trigger, or they were where you started getting interested in hypnosis.
Yeah, it was.
Then how was that?
Yeah, it was. It's sort of a long story that we don't have to get into all the way, but essentially, The UFO subject is something that has always been fascinating to me, at least for the last 12 years or so. And I did a lot of reading of John Mack.
Oh, sure.
Dolores Cannon, Brian Weiss.
Oh, and Dolores. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was it John Mack that kind of got you interested because of the results of his hypnosis?
Yeah, it was just it was a fascinating thing, and at the same time, I was getting more into spirituality, mm-hmm. into what meditation is, what consciousness is.
And one of the books by John Mack, wasn't it Abduction?
Yeah.
Okay, and there was another one too. He did, I think, a series of three that pretty much were on the same topic, and he was a psychologist at Harvard University, and he started, of course, hypnotizing people, and what was coming to the surface was a lot of these people had been abducted, supposedly by aliens, and gone up into UFOs. So that's what those books are about, and that really, he was admired by his peers and those who were regressed and hypnotized, but not so much by his own employees,
colleagues
at work. Unfortunately, very sad. There's a lot of competition there. So he was kind of dissed, but he did some marvelous work, and the information he uncovered was really phenomenal.
It's seminal. It's fascinating. And
in that field. So that's kind of what got you on it. Knowing that someone of that, well, not I'm not going to say that caliber, but that of that status as far as psychology is concerned, and he was getting deeply involved in this subject that most people deny even exists, UFOs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was certainly one of the high profile people to be involved in that. And I mean, I've always. Always been interested in what consciousness is, what is hypnosis. There's always been a mystery around it for me, and that's what helped me. That's why I started looking into it, and I just couldn't stop. It's very fascinating.
And Brian Weiss or Weiss?
Weiss.
Okay.
Weiss. Yeah.
Many houses, many mansions.
Many lives,
many mansions.
Many lives, many masters.
Oh. Okay, there's was many souls, many mansions.
Yes, many
that's
something
somebody
and
else.
A lot of something else. Yep.
Well, there were two books that are similarly titled. So he was many mansions, many masters. Many lives, many masters.
Many lives, many masters.
Okay.
I think it came out in the 80s, and that was, as far as I know, that was one of the first sort of high-profile books about reincarnation and with regards to hypnosis and past life regression.
But he didn't uncover UFO encounters, did he?
No, he doesn't. As far as I know, he doesn't go into that subject.
Okay, all the same, though, very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah, very much.
So you decided that you would look into it. Now, did you think that you'd be able to really hypnotize people?
At first, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but and those subjects are certainly subjects that are very interesting to me. Beneath all of it is just a want to help, people find peace in their life.
Yeah.
And that's really the underlying motivation for me, and these topics are very fascinating to me, and a part of what got me looking into hypnosis. But it's really, for me, it's really revolves around helping people connect with themselves and mm-hmm. their inner wisdom and finding peace and happiness.
Okay, so do you know what consciousness is now?
No, I don't.
Oh, darn, I was hoping you had the answers.
Nope, I don't.
Okay, so I made a list of the things, of the services that you provide mm-hmm. under the umbrella of hypnosis. Mm-hmm. So we made the distinction last time in the show that you are not a hypnotherapist, you're a hypnotist. But you can still help people with some of their fears, phobias, cravings, mm-hmm. problems of just self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So things like, we'll leave past life for last, managing stress, wellness support, regaining self-control, releasing fears and apprehensions, even weight loss. How about stopping smoking?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about sleeping?
Yeah, how yeah. about sleeping?
Oh, good. We'll yeah. talk later.
All right. All right. Yeah, that's definitely one, for sure.
Willie would like all to right. stay up all night.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to, but... So, in for instance, in the managing stress, yeah, how deep a level do you have to get somebody into relaxation before they realize that when they wake up, they're going to be less stressful?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, one of the effects of going into a deep state of meditation, which is essentially what hypnosis is,
right.
it's just a very relaxed state of relaxed focus. And a natural side effect of being in that state of consciousness is tremendous relaxation. Mm. And so that's really a byproduct of the hypnosis process. And it also gives access to the subconscious mind, looking at the real entanglement of negative thinking, and to look at that thinking in a new way, from another perspective, and really see, is it true? Are these negative thoughts that I've been saying to myself, are they actually true? And if they're not fully true, why do I hang on to them? So yeah, there's a lot of different ways of doing so, but it's something that I love helping people with, and it's really a fulfilling thing.
You know, the argument about the meditation is people can get themselves in a really deep meditative state, and you can kind of go in the meditation with the idea, I'd like to find an answer to this, or I'd like to experience such and such. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like to experience maybe why I can't stop smoking. But I think the point that you make in hypnosis is more interactive than just the meditative state, so that you can get into a deeply relaxed state in either way. But the interaction where someone is talking to you, asking you questions for self-examination and or coaxing you to try and make the right decision or something, I think that's more powerful. Mm-hmm. It may be a lazy man's way to do it, but I think it's really difficult to just do it singularly in a meditative state, don't you think?
Oh, I agree. To
overcome something like that?
I would put it this way, that both are really useful in their own way. The real power of meditation is simply just the practice of letting everything be
the way it is.
And that sounds really easy, of course, but and as we all know, it's not easy in life. But the practice of just allowing everything to be, to place the focus on awareness itself, And I really do think that these major changes that people move through, and that I help people move through, are really come out of awareness of the pattern from a place of not judgment. And sometimes when we're in our own thinking and sitting and meditating, it's hard to be without judgment of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we always sort of beat ourselves up and feel guilty about something.
Right. Of course.
Have you dealt with people who find it really difficult to get deeply relaxed so that they can't really launch into meditation?
No. I mean, it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. The one person I've had a tremendous challenge of getting into a very deep state of hypnosis is my grandmother.
Really?
but aside from, and she's 104 years old.
Oh, you're kidding.
And she wanted to try it, and we tried it. And that was, you know, and I always said, there's going to be someone that it does not work on. And for me, it was my own grandmother.
Oh, that's amazing.
Everyone else, it's just a matter of time. And it's much easier than they think. You know, countless times of hearing, oh, I can't be hypnotized or anything like that. And then that's not the truth. And it's also a misperception about what hypnosis is. You know, it's often not what they think. It's just simply a deep form of relaxation and a settling and a very relaxed experience.
Is there actually a correlation between, this is what they say, between intelligence and or lack of it? Because I've heard that really intelligent people go under really quickly. And I don't think that's true.
No,
I mean, I don't think there's a bearing on intelligence necessarily.
No, and I think no, I want to make a clear no. There's
good,
no correlation with really any type of metric like that. Some people, it is easier to go under.
Yep. And others don't want to let go.
Right. Yeah, and in that way, sometimes when we speak of intelligence, I think there's many definitions of intelligence.
Many kinds of intelligence, too. Yes, I agree with you.
And often we associate intelligence with sort of left brain thinking, logical, critical, analyzing. And that type of analytical mind in general is a little harder to go under.
Yeah.
But there's no not, I mean, it's
possible.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've worked with people across all the spectrums of personality and the rest.
Yeah, backgrounds, cultures.
And there's no, it's not as hard as they think.
Yeah, I just think it has a lot to do with letting go of ego and not wanting to be in control of everything and letting someone else guide you. So you sort of give yourself over.
I was just wondering, what about like trying to meditate yourself? I mean, I've never been any good at, because what they've referred to sometimes as monkey brain or something, you know, I mean...
Monkey brain?
Yeah, you know, thoughts just jumping all over the place, and you can't... Is it easier to overcome that through hypnosis rather than trying to do it yourself through meditation?
Yeah, I mean, hypnosis, I consider it sort of a back way into a deep meditation.
Okay.
The thing is, with anything, if you get used to accessing that state with someone else, then of course it becomes harder, or you would think it would be harder to get there yourself, you know. And that's not the case. You can get there
the opposite
yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like anything really. I mean, if we rely on someone to help us get there, then we might believe that's the only way I could get there.
Right.
Which isn't the case.
Yeah.
But I hear you about the meditation meditation is not something that I sort of get good at. It's really just allowing myself to let go as much as I can in while I sit. And so, you know, I sometimes the experience is really blissful, and you know, you go wherever you go, and other times I'm just monkey minding and you know, stressed out as I certainly can do. And
would you have any suggestions for anybody is having that problem?
Music, maybe, or just not, or like rhythmic stuff, like the ocean, sound of the water, or something like that in the background might help.
I think for different people, there's different things that can help get into that relaxed state. And
white noise, something like that.
Right. I mean, I often what I'll do is just focus on senses, the awareness of things.
And breathing and such.
Breathing and just being aware of coming to the senses. You know, the expression, come to your senses. Well, there it is. Experience this moment through your senses and not through the mind. And of course, the mind will rev up and talk and all
and
that
take
stuff,
over.
But yeah, I don't have any Yeah, I don't know. There's better experts on that than me out there.
What would you say were some of your successes from a personal achievement point of view? Obviously, you probably help everybody at almost every client that you take on. But what do you feel most satisfied about?
My goal is to help every person that comes in. You know, I'm not sure that's always the case because...
Satisfied wasn't exactly the word. Maybe interesting or personally interesting from that satisfaction point of view.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy helping people see themselves in a more true, with a capital T, light.
And putting them more in control.
Right. Because we rely so much on the outside world to reflect what we are. Mm-hmm. And often the outside world can be a distorted mirror at times. And people can get down on themselves because they don't feel seen. Yeah. And by helping them relax in these deep ways and really connecting with themselves in that deep state of meditation,
they can see the reason for it and they can put a stop to it.
Epiphanies come and new awarenesses come, new ways of seeing it. And so I really enjoy people. It's like some people have said, it's like taking an old shoe off of these old sort of rigid ways of thinking. And
yep, relax the tension and yeah.
Yeah, so I really love seeing that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, before we get into past lives, because I think that's a great big Pandora's box, but it's not negative necessarily. There was one testimonial in particular. There are several that really struck me as so unusual. And one of them was a woman who wrote in that she had told you she believed that she probably wasn't human in a former life. And she had some kind of revelation of being in the insect and animal world. Mm-hmm. So what happened there?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about consciousness, and who would ever think, well, I mean, I guess Indians think that you can come back as an animal, but that's really an unusual idea. So go ahead, tell us about her.
Yeah, I mean, the experience that she had was she soared in the air as a bird. She was a bird.
My.
And it was, and what really, really is fascinating to me, you know, it's not the fact that someone's having an experience like this doesn't mean it was necessarily true or not. I don't go there because that's not my job. It's about the experience and what it, if it was true for them. And, she was just soaring as a bird and the amazing thing that comes through is when someone's surprised, you know? And so there was this moment where she was very surprised because this bird that she was experiencing, she could see, in her eye, I guess I don't wear eyeglasses, but if you wear the glasses that are bifocals, that if you look in a certain way, you can see more focused.
Yes.
And so she looked through her lens in a certain way and she could see all the way to the ground. As you know, as if one of those big, you know, like a hawk,
like a raptor or something,
that could zoom in and see the little mice. And she was flabbergasted by this, and so was I to hear this come through. And so, you know, when things, and that happens more frequently than you think, when someone's just experiences something in those states and is just flabbergasted because they're like, what, you know, and that really is really fascinating to me. And I think lends evidence to like, you know, well, what's going on here? I don't know, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's hard to deny somebody else's experience when they're going right through it, you know?
Right,
it's hard to
right.
fake all those emotions.
Yeah.
How did you get her to that state? Did you bring her, like, down a tunnel or out into a meadow and then ask her what she saw?
Basically,
Yeah. Basically, that's what happened, and then she found herself flying.
That's right. So what's really important for me is to not, you know, and people come in with certain things they want to work on and all the rest. So each session is different with the certain goals and everything else. But many times, if it fits the right thing, is just exactly that, whether it's a tunnel or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but helping them get to a very deep space and mm-hmm. then... the number one question I ask is what's happening now? And they share what's going on, and we have a conversation, and it's just a really, really unique experience.
She also said, I was transported to a crazily vivid world of falcons, whales, and bacteria.
Mm.
Did she get into that at all during that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what else did she say?
Yeah. Oh, it was pretty amazing.
Whales and bacteria?
Yeah.
Did she think she had been a bacteria?
She was having the experience as a bacteria. And she didn't... It was funny. This was a year and a half ago or something. But she didn't know what she was at first, and she just...
She felt herself wiggly?
it was a really unique experience. It just... Over time, she's like, I think I'm bacteria or something like that. And it was a pretty wild, wild experience.
I got to say, I think it's totally possible. I had been introduced to this type of idea maybe about 20 years ago. I avidly read Fate magazine, and they've got a section in there called My Mystic Experience and My Proof of Survival. And this one guy had written in that he had a vivid experience of experiencing life as a rock.
Mm.
And I thought, now, a rock is not living. But I got to thinking, I've heard since then, that everything has consciousness. There's some kind of glue that keeps everything together, that all of the molecules, they're specialized, they know what they're doing, there's an intelligence about them, and that he'd gone to that incarnation, that state of being, to experience slowness and... no stress. It was...
You can't get much slower than a rock.
I know. But those little molecules are still working, though, aren't they? Yeah. They're still spinning. So I thought that was really unusual, and it must have taken him a lot of courage to write in about such a seemingly absurd thing.
Sure, sure.
But think about it. This woman coming up with, you know, animals and bacteria.
The thing I love thinking about is everything is, you know, molecules moving at a certain vibration, mm-hmm. and nothing really is as solid as we think it is, mm-hmm. because there's more space between the molecules and the molecules themselves. Yep. What is happening here? I have no idea.
Because all of those molecules are specialized. They all move at a certain rate. They have certain characteristics. And when they work in concert, they are something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's hard to understand that, but everything is not what we think it is.
Right.
Apparently not.
Reality is multifaceted in many ways.
Yeah.
And as somebody we know says, there is no reason you can't just walk through a solid ball.
Yeah, can't walk through it. Well, but those molecules are specialized.
they're molecules, and there's space between them. So.
There's space between them, but sometimes the spaces are very minute. Maybe in the when we come back, we're going to be speaking to a special guest who's going to be on the phone. But I do want to touch more on... past lives, mm-hmm. and whether or not you found someone who believed that they had been on another planet or had been like another energy form, like say perhaps pure energy, a being, mm-hmm. but being pure energy, something along those lines, because again, that's a question of consciousness. So, but now at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Rob Stewart. He's a hypnotist, and we will be back in just a moment, so please don't go away.
Supernatural Magazine, one of the UK's top paranormal magazines, provides support to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. It is the magazine's goal to bring every aspect of supernatural news and research from around the world under one roof to create a universal platform for all those interested in the supernatural. More information is available at supernaturalmagazine.com. And you are listening to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience on the Paranormal UK Radio Network. Granite Sky is proud to serve the Granite State, New England, and the world via the internet with rock-solid support and personal services. There are many aspects to ufology, and the experiencer is too often overlooked. At Granite Sky, their focus is on people, not proof. Granite Sky focuses on supporting those who have had extraterrestrial encounters and abduction experiences. We believe no one should have to face these experiences alone. If you've been visited, visit them at www.granitesky.org. And so, we are back.
You're back, Willie. We're all back. Welcome back, Rob. So, before we get our special guest on the line, I wanted to cover one other topic, which is really multifaceted in itself, and that's past lives. So, I'm curious to know, other than lives here on Earth, have you regressed anybody who discovered that perhaps they had lived on another planet or in another dimension as maybe a pure life form or something like that?
Yeah. It has happened. Whether, you know, people do experience energy. That can be a very common
sort of a light being, and it's all energetic.
Sort of an energetic existence,
yeah.
I guess you'd say.
Dolores Cannon regressed a lot of people. She has a lot of accounts of that in her books.
Yeah.
So what did you find? Did you find someone who thought they might have lived on another planet?
Yeah. Those have come through, too, and different sort of life forms that that seem surprising and things like that. But, you know, what I've come to understand with all this is that it's all about experiencing different experiences, different limitations, different things, and that comes with. I don't know what the ultimate truth is. You know, I really
perhaps
don't.
Just learning and becoming more perfect. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I've you know, Rob in 10 years will listen to this and probably in cringe. You know, but what I mean is just that. Yeah, there's been people have experiences in these deep states of. Different being sort of different bodies, I guess you'd say, different places, different environments.
There's also one other offshoot of that. I've met people who thought that they were working. In fact, there's a woman at KRI. She felt that she was part reptilian, that she was reptilian. She was from the reptilian race, and that she had incarnated here, but she was still part reptilian, and that she would meet with them, I think, in a dream state. If not, it was in another dimension. But Donna Henley also feels that she's here in conjunction with a mission of some alien entities. And it's totally possible, but it's hard for your brain to wrap around that concept.
It's hard to, but you know what I've learned with all this is the fact that I haven't had that experience, or that I don't know what that's like, doesn't mean
you can't assume and you can't say it's not possible. You just have to take it with a grain of salt and listen and try and learn.
And I think it's really important to hear people and not be in judgment of the experiences. And
you got to drop the judgment. That's hard.
And what do I know? You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can't tell them what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
Truly, you can't sit there and edit what they're saying or passing judgment on what they're saying.
And I
know so little.
I guess I've seen enough in my life to know that, you know, there's so much that is possible that,
yep. It could be. Who's to put the brakes on what can be? Are you going to get our buddy on the line? While Willie's doing that, I guess I can slip in one other question. We were talking about cellular memory a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. and some people do have a tendency to retain trauma from past lives. So have you worked on that personally, that sort of issue?
The word trauma is sort of a heavy weighted word, certainly stress and things like that. So the body can be seen as the subconscious mind. The body there's a great book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh.
There's certainly has come through my work where people have those difficulties from a past life, and are working through that today. Yes.
So what about, like, say someone got an injury from a sword and
they might
have current pain in their rib or something where that sword made contact with them, that sort of thing.
Right. There's been those experiences with people where, and by revisiting the memory in their mind, in this deep space of meditation, sometimes those
understanding
pains,
makes it go away.
Right. I don't know how it works, and I can't say it works all the time, but it's something that can be profound. Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yes, we do. We have a special guest on the phone. Welcome to Spirit Radio, Ken Owens.
Hello, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
We're doing good. Thanks for joining us.
So, are you in a chatty mood tonight?
Well, I've been listening to you guys. I think I can follow along with you for a while.
Well, why don't you tell our listening audience how you got connected with Rob, and in what capacity?
It was a couple of years ago. I was taking a class through Ray Fowler, and I'm sure you know, most of the people know who he is.
Yeah, the Andreessen Affair, and he wrote about UFO abductions.
Right. And Dean Merchant was in the class with me. We got to talking, he kept mentioning PRI and social classes, and thought it'd be a good idea if I came over. So I ended up coming over one night and started discussing some of the things that were happening. He had also told me that Rob usually came to these things. At the time, I was looking for someone to possibly do a regression with, to see some of the things that may have happened to me. So Rob sat there, he listened to the whole thing, so he basically knew all the questions that were going to be brought up. We talked a little bit afterwards and set a date, and went ahead and did it on July 15th, 2017. I'll never forget that day.
So what did you uncover, Ken, that you feel like talking about?
Basically, what we were going into, there was a list of things that we were looking for, and at the top of the list was one of the things that happened back during the 70s when I was in the Air Force. Stationed up in northern Maine at a radar site. We were right next to Loring Air Force Base, and over the years, my wife would tell me things about what happened to me the next morning. And these were memories that I never had. So we went into the regression trying to figure out what started the whole thing, what did I see, who took me, whatever you want to call it, and then why, after 40 years, I still have no memory of what happened. And when Rob got me into a level where he was comfortable with me, then he just asked a question. He said, let's move forward to Loring Air Force Base in 1978. And before he had a chance to say anything, I was pretty much dumped off into the middle of whatever was happening to me. So we never got to see the beginning of what happened, who took me, whatever you want to call it. And we never got to figure out the end of it as to why I had no memory. Mainly because of what I was going through. Rob and some of the other folks who were there were more concerned about getting me back to 2017 than to trying to get those answers. So that's kind of what happened through that situation.
So when you were regressed, you were kind of like in the middle of one of the experiences?
Yeah, I got dumped right into the middle of what was happening.
Wow.
The beginning of it where they... let me go back a second here. The morning after this happened, I had gone home, and my wife was looking at me, why are you... It was kind of like the old white as a ghost type of thing, white as a sheet type of thing. And she was asking me what was wrong. I told her that I had stepped out of the back of the radar and face-to-face with whatever it was. And then the next thing I knew, we got a phone call that I had an appointment over at the base. So I went to that, supposedly, and I came back, and she was asking me all about it, and I had no recollection of anything. All I know is that when we went through the regression, the beginning of all of that, the start of it, and the end of it is a total blank because we never got to that point. They were more concerned about where I was health-wise going through what was happening than trying to figure out those questions and answers.
Have you since received answers as to what went on before and after?
No, I haven't got those yet. I've been told by some other people who have contact with the other side, basically, that I'm not at the stage right now where
you can deal with knowing,
understand it, or accept it. So until I get to that point, it would never come across to me anyway. So at that point, I'm more curious, I think, now to find out what happened to me when I went to the base, what might have they had done to me to make me not remember this for 40 years, and then to figure out who it was that actually, did whatever they did with me.
Do you have no recollection of, like, features of what you encountered?
Basically, I can give you a quick description of what did come across, and Rob jumped in at the same time. when it first started, it felt like I was just dumped in the middle of the ocean at night without a moon. That's how black everything was.
Oh.
I had no idea where I was, what was going on, where I was traveling to, how I was getting there, nothing. But I was heading towards like a black wall, and it was like a carrot out in front of you. It stayed the same distance. I couldn't get to it, and I couldn't get past it. And as the time went on through this process, it got to the point where if you were say body surfing in the wave,
Mm-hmm.
And the wave had become nothing but like confetti. So you're riding in this wave of confetti. Well, that confetti eventually became me.
Okay.
I was part of that. And I was riding the wave to wherever that was taking me, where I wasn't even an entity anymore. I was just all these little particles of something being transported. And
so you meant that you were no longer a physical being, but you were just all energy that had been dissipated?
Right. Like that, like for some reason, maybe they couldn't transport the physical body.
Yeah.
And this is the way they had to take me.
And sounds like Scotty Beam Me Up, doesn't it? Molecular dissolution kind of dissolves the body and...
Yeah, it kind of looks like that and feels like that, I guess, in a way, when you think about it.
So you felt totally scattered, Ken?
Yeah, I felt like that wave that would be coming, like I'm saying. Like I was that wave itself. I was just being ridden out there like that.
Did you feel like you were being torn apart mentally and maybe emotionally? Because you weren't in control?
I definitely didn't have any control. But I didn't have any sensations of anything other than feeling and basically almost, I guess, seeing myself that way and knowing that
wow,
this is the way I felt and the way I was being
You were just totally fractured.
Excuse me?
You were totally fractured.
Yeah. Yeah, and then eventually the regression went on. I ended up back at the site again. Had no idea how I got there, where I was, why I was there. Then I went home, and I just bounced into the house. And I was just like, why isn't there anybody here that can see me? I didn't know why people couldn't see me in the house. And the next thing I know, I was gone again. And I don't know exactly where I went that time, but eventually Rob was able to get control of me and ended up bringing me back to 2017, got me relaxed and stuff. And for a while, he was having a hard time doing that because I wasn't releasing from where I was going. So it got to be a pretty interesting ride.
So, Rob, Ken, you were returned at some point in this travel back to your house, and like your wife couldn't see you.
At the first time I ended up going in the house, it was like just walking into some place like, and there wasn't anybody that could see me. You know, I couldn't see anybody, and there's nobody there that could see me. And I was just wondering, you know, where, why it was that way. And I got thinking afterwards that it was possibly. You know, I had shown this regression to Ray Fowler, the guy we spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me what he thought I had been more or less like reunited with myself, come back together.
Uh-huh.
And I really never had a feeling of that happening.
Oh.
What I thought about later was that maybe the reason that nobody could see me in the house was because I hadn't been reunited with myself yet.
Yeah, reassembled.
And I thought it was talking when I was on the hill outside on the site before this. That's when I thought I was, you know, kind of back to the, you know, out there standing outside on the radar site, you know. So I thought it was all then, and then afterwards thinking about it, it was maybe I wasn't there yet, and they were still bouncing me around. And as far as being anything that people could see, that I just wasn't there yet.
Well, you know, it almost sounds like a Philadelphia experiment on one individual.
It could be.
Because apparently the ship was, you know, transported somewhere else in time. And all of the molecules of their bodies and everything were rearranged.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it just...
One of the things that Rob has done is he got me basically to start out and take me through the night when I was at work. And so we went through the typical, go in, do the shift checks, sit around, talk, and whatever else was going on. And at the time, I was working like a 3 to midnight shift. Later, during the whole thing, he asked me, what time do you think it is now? I'm like, well, maybe 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And at that point, I was in a big cement building, and dock room with radar scopes and things like this would have been. Everything around me just vanished. I didn't go out a door. Everything just disappeared.
Disappeared?
I just, you know, went out and wherever I was. And just went traveling that way. And lost my train of thought where I was going with that.
You just disappeared from that building where the radar was, and your environment totally changed. So you think you were kind of like, not extracted, but maybe you went to another dimension?
I really couldn't explain what it was. All I know is that wherever it wasn't a very pleasant ride where I was going.
Oh, well, there's so much mystery involved.
And like the other thing I just thought of was what I was leaning towards was, the morning, you know, he said, well, okay, well, what time is it now? It was like 6 or 7 in the morning, I think I told him. So from like 9 or 10 o'clock at night till 6 or 7 the next morning, it was that whole blank missing time frame, even during the regression. And my point that I'm trying to lead to was like when I got that phone call the next morning saying that I had the appointment, how did anybody at the base even know what just happened?
Yeah.
To contact me, you know? to tell me I had that appointment.
Well, there are two questions here. Rob, what I'd like to know is, you actually couldn't get him to a deeper, relaxed state so that he knew, because his subconscious was preventing him, was protecting him, actually? Is that what you think?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it did seem like there was protection.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
Because he couldn't handle any more than that in knowing at that time.
Yeah, I mean, this was 2.5 years ago. It was it was my first sort of high profile experience with this particular issue, and mm-hmm. and you know, I look back, and of course there's ways I wish I knew what I knew now going into it, I learned a lot with Ken.
Oh,
and
I bet.
And Ken and I are good. We've become good friends over the years, and the bottom line is that it was a very deep experience for him. And even with lots of sort of prepping and hoping to laying those safety things there, it still was a difficult experience for him. And that's completely understandable. And I wish we had gotten more of what Ken was looking for, more of these answers.
He probably just couldn't allow himself to see it just yet.
Right. I mean, there is sort of
different stages,
a process involved with all this. And I don't know, Ken. I know that, and I don't want to speak for Ken, but Ken, if you want to speak to after, it sounded like it was. It, of course, was a very difficult experience, and but afterwards, it did seem like there was some clearing a bit, although not. Not as much as we would have hoped.
Yeah, some elucidation, obviously. Yeah. Ken, I wanted to ask you, though, if they called you the next morning, it really indicates to me that they were involved and they knew. So it almost seems like it wasn't like orchestrated from an ET standpoint, but more, it almost seems like you were experimented on to me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of the two.
Think so?
Yeah. I'm not really 100% sure of anything at this point.
And do you think this sort of thing, did they mess with you more than once?
I don't know the answer to that.
Do you suspect
this
that?
This is the only one that I can recall from that point and being told about. Like I said, the whole thing to me at that point was, I didn't remember any of it. Until we went through the regression, and then what came out during the regression is all I know about it. So you can sit there and you can think about it and wonder what happened, but I really don't have any of the answers to any of that.
How many sessions have you done with Rob?
We just did the one.
Oh, okay.
We were looking at it and thinking maybe going back and trying another one, but I guess I never really got the nerve up. But just was kind of wondering if it would really be worthwhile. One of the other thing I really mentioned real quick was when I went there to do this and we decided to do the regression, one of the things that came out of it was I felt like it was something that I really needed to do and go through. As nasty as it was going through it, I think it turned out to be a positive experience. And it's taken me and opening me up for other things since then. So I don't know where it's leading me to or what's really going on, but I'm more aware and more open to possibilities of different things than probably I was before then. So in that sense, I believe it really turned out to be a positive experience. And being Rob's first, I think he did a great job getting me back under control and getting things squared away and bring me back to 2017, where, you know, he felt a little bad about what happened to me going through it, but it was really out of his control because he never really had a chance to ask me anything. I was just dumped in the middle of it.
Wow.
So I let him off the hook on that one.
How did you bring him back to 2017?
Oh, I mean, you know, he was always in 2017. It was, you know, he was
mind wise.
I mean, it is a misperception about hypnosis of can I come back? You know, can I come back?
But he was confused, though.
It was a very confusing experience and a very difficult experience.
Yeah.
But you know, there was no question he was coming back.
Well, when he was talking, I'm sure he wasn't sure what was happening to him because he was experiencing whatever that was. So wasn't he kind of disconnected with 2017, sort of, in a way?
He was having an experience of that that experience, and
well, it's almost like you can't quite wake up, you know?
Right, and until you do,
yeah.
You know,
until
it's
you
just
do.
Like, and I, I mean, there's no question that he was coming back, and there's a lot of misperceptions about that.
Yeah.
Can I jump in for a minute?
Yes, please, Ken.
Yeah. As far as being 2017 versus 1978 and all that that we're talking about, I was well aware that I was in the room talking to Rob the whole time.
Yeah.
I knew what I was going through, but the experience that I was having is what I was having a hard time separating from.
Yeah.
Wasn't really getting back to 2017 in a sense that I thought I was in 1978. It was more getting out of that situation.
Yeah.
Back into,
that's really what I'm referring to. Yeah.
A relaxed, comfortable state that he was trying to get me to.
Right, right.
I read a story once of this woman who came back that she had been snapped out of her trance really quickly. And she felt like she wasn't totally here. She felt like she was between two states of being, so that she didn't completely integrate her consciousness with her body. She came back very confused. And that's what it sounded like to me, only she was kind of physically brought back because of a noise or something. Mm-hmm. I just recently read this, too. So I was empathizing with your feeling of disconnectedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what the actual words he used to get me there, but eventually I felt like I was back in a nice little recliner and we were sitting there talking, and my eyes opened and kind of looked at each other like, okay, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah, and was it real?
Yeah.
Darn. Well, you kind of feel that you have had different contacts throughout your life because you discussed that with a KRI friend of ours, Carol Adams.
Right.
And she kind of...
She's been a good friend of ours since I walked in that one night.
And she too...
And some other experiences that have happened. It seems to me that this is probably something that's been going on my entire life that I didn't...
Yeah. Yeah, but it almost sounds like a joint operation when you went to... When you were under during that session.
Yeah.
Boy, that's very interesting, Ken.
It's definitely different, that's for sure.
Well,
I don't believe that, you know, like what was going on throughout my life and things that may have happened with Carol and I, that it had anything to do with what happened up there in the regression that Rob and I were doing. I think they were kind of totally independent of each other.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that they may have totally been different entities or whatever that were involved in it. So.
So, sometimes we wonder, you know, for a long time we might be aware of something, but we wonder, is that a dream? That's probably just a dream. So it's, I think it's really great that Rob was able to get you to a state where you got some clarity on that.
Yeah, it definitely opened me up, and I did feel like it was something that I really needed to go through.
Yeah.
It took me 40 years to get the courage to do it. I found the right person to help me do it, and we just had it done. And Ray had told me once before, because he had asked me several years ago if I had gone through a regression. I thought about it, and I said, no, I thought about it, but I haven't done it. And he said, well, maybe that's a good thing. Because sometimes it opens up more questions.
Yeah.
And it gives you answers. And
yeah.
I think this was one of those cases where there's a lot more questions out there now than answers that I'll probably ever get.
Well, you have to listen to your own intuition and not take on more than you can handle information-wise, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say when you're ready to accept the information, you'll start getting it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just kind of ignorant at this point.
Nope, I think it's a slow revelation for you.
Not any more than any of us.
Truly, yeah. Well, actually, we're kind of out of time, Ken, so we're going to have to wrap this up. Thank you so much for being available. That was very interesting, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Pleasure, and great talking to y'all.
Yeah. Same here.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Ken, for joining us.
All right, Jeff,
and
great night.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
All right.
KRI.
Take care, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Bye.
All right, so that's Spirit Radio, and we're at the end of another show.
And, Rob, thank you very much for joining us again. Website?
Thank you. The website is www.innercenter.org.
Very nicely done, by the way.
It's the website.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
And do you have anything coming up that you want to mention?
Nothing in particular. I offer groups at different places at different times, and they can visit the website to learn more about that.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Rob.
Yeah, really, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
And let's see, next week on Spirit Radio, Donna Henley.
That's right.
She's a psychic
medium.
And she will answer questions for you, help you out.
She considers herself a soul healer.
I wasn't quite sure how to put that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Please give us a call at 603-430-9722.
And that will be next week.
Yeah, that's next week. Not right now. Next week, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And so that is it.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You have a good evening.
You have been listening to Spirit Radio, The Paranormal Experience, with your hosts, Willie Hassel and Lynn Nickerson, on the Paranormal UK Radio Network.
Granite Sky is proud to serve the Granite State, New England, and the world via the Internet with rock-solid support and personal services. There are many aspects to ufology, and the experiencer is too often overlooked. At Granite Sky, their focus is on people, not proof. Granite Sky focuses on supporting those who have had extraterrestrial encounters and abduction experiences. We believe no one should have to face these experiences alone. If you've been visited, visit them at www.granitesky.org.